Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The overwhelming need in your life is the same overwhelming need in the lives of these Christmas fathers and Christmas mothers. You know what it is? It's grace. And this is the message of Christmas. It is this, that God in Jesus Christ offers us grace.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Many people are fascinated by genealogy and proud of their family history. Your history and heritage can provide many insights about your past, but sometimes we discover things we'd rather forget. Today on The Verdict, we're focusing on Christmas and taking a look at the unique family origins of Jesus as we continue a message from Pastor John Monroe titled, Christmas Families.
Do you enjoy being with your family over Christmas? Are the celebrations enjoyable? Or are there some tensions and stresses and perhaps even outright arguments? Christmas families are not perfect. The ones mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the opening verses of Matthew 1 are far from perfect. Yes, God uses imperfect people as his servants. Last time we thought of Christmas fathers. Today we think of Christmas mothers. You might find some of the details of their lives surprising. How could people like this be in the genealogy of our Savior? But I find this lineage to be a tremendous encouragement. We are all totally dependent upon the grace of God for our salvation. There's hope for imperfect families like yours and mine.
Let's think first of all of some of the Christmas fathers. The New Testament begins with a genealogy. This is very important. Notice verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I'm going to select four fathers from the genealogy to consider. And the first, Abraham. Abraham is a man of great faith. Yes, but as we look a little closer at Abraham, we find this is a man who lied. And then also in verse 2, there is his grandson, Jacob. Again, a great example to us of faith and of perseverance, a man who wrestled with God himself, but also a manipulator, a cheat. Then, as we look down in verse 6, we come to David himself. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 27, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Oh, that's David. Yes, David, the sinful man, is one of the Christmas fathers. There's another one, verse 6 and 7. Solomon is there, David's son. But he also displeased the Lord very badly. But here he is, a Christmas father. So what do we have in this genealogy with these Christmas fathers? We have a liar. We have a deceiver. We have an adulterer. We have a murderer. We have a polygamist, and we've got more. But what about the mothers? Four women are mentioned in the genealogy other than Mary, and the women who are mentioned are very surprising. The first is mentioned in verse 3, and her name is Tamar. It seems a very unlikely person to be a Christmas mother. As she, a Canaanite, seduces her own father-in-law into an immoral relationship. Yet here she is, this woman, Tamar, is in the genealogy of Jesus, a Christmas mother. And then verse 5, we read of Rahab. Verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Who is Rahab? Well, we know quite a bit about Rahab. You can read her in the opening chapters of Joshua. The children of Israel have come to the River Jordan. They're on the east side in what is today present-day Jordan. And they're about to cross the Jordan to possess the promised land. They're right there on the very doorstep of inheriting the land that God promised Abraham and their forefathers. A very exciting day. And Joshua is now the leader. Moses has recently died. And Joshua is a very shrewd man. He's a good military leader. And he does something which is only sensible to do before coming to Jericho, which is the main city, he sends spies into Jericho to find out what is going on. And when they're in Jericho, they need somewhere to stay. And they end up staying in the home of this woman, Rahab, who is, the old King James says, a harlot, a prostitute. And they stay with her. But this woman, although she's a prostitute, in fact, is very discerning. And she has faith. She says, we've heard about your God. We've heard about the deliverance through the Red Sea. And I'm going to put my trust in this God. And the spies say to her, if you help us, if you don't tell the inhabitants of Jericho that we are here, and if you help us escape, we will promise that you and everyone in your house, all of your family, will not die, because we're going to take Jericho and we're going to devastate Jericho. But if you help us, and if your trust is in the Lord, your house and your life and the life of your family will be preserved. And you remember the story, the scarlet rope is put outside her house. And sure enough, she is saved. Not only a Canaanite, not only a pagan, but a harlot, a prostitute. Yet here she is, one of the Christmas mothers in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Does that surprise you? Isn't that amazing whom God chooses? And then verse 5, there is Ruth. Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. We know about Ruth. She's a Moabitess, not from one of the tribes of Israel, but from Moab, again, on the east side of the River Jordan. And following her godly mother-in-law, some of you know the story, she leaves Moab and travels over the river and comes to Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, she meets this man, Boaz. And they marry, and they have a little boy called Obed, who in turn is going to have a little boy called Jesse, who in turn is going to have a little boy called David. Ruth is the great-grandmother of David, Israel's greatest king. But she's a Gentile. She's a Moabitess, a pagan before she places her trust in God. Yet here is another Gentile, a Christmas mother in the genealogy of Christ. And then, verse 6, there is a woman whom Matthew doesn't even name. He can't, as it were, bring himself to mention the name of this woman. She's an unmentionable. Who is she? We've already heard about her. Verse 6, Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Yes, it's Bathsheba. Matthew doesn't mention her name, but there she is. She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite, again a Gentile. Her name, Bathsheba, the very woman with whom David commits adultery. And there she is in the genealogy of Jesus the Christ. She's the mother of Solomon, a Christmas mother, only one of four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, mentioned in the royal family. Now, what am I saying? Why do I take time to do this? I want to say that Christmas families are dysfunctional. Not one of these Christmas fathers, not one of these Christmas mothers is perfect. You have an adulterer, you have a murderer, you have a deceiver, you have a prostitute, you have an adulteress. Why would they appear in the greatest genealogy ever? What kind of families did these Christmas mothers and Christmas fathers produce? What do sinful fathers and mothers produce? They produce sinful children. And we could go through all of these families in this genealogy and search the scriptures to learn about their family life, to learn about their children, and we would see that the consequences of their sin, like the consequence of David's sin, and their failures are far-reaching. But in spite of their failure, God did not reject them. They are also men and women of faith. They are men and women who did great exploits for God and whom God graciously used. So in this genealogy, we have Christmas fathers who are problem people. We have Christmas mothers who had their problems. We have Christmas families who are dysfunctional, who are broken. Do you think we've got anyone today that comes from a dysfunctional home? Do you think we have any marriages who are imperfect? Are there any broken people here? Do you think we have anyone here who has committed an act of immorality? Is there anyone here who has deceived someone? Do you think there's any businessman, businesswoman who's lied in their business to make some money? Do you think there's anyone here who has lied to get some promotion in their job or to come to some advantage? Is there anyone here who's got any problem relationships with their wife, with their husband, with their parents, with their children, with their siblings? Anyone here like that? I'm looking for a show of hands. I've only got one or two honest people. The rest of you are sitting there like the bunch of hypocrites you are. The answer is yes. Yes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the message of the New Testament, that there is not one perfect person, that we are far from perfect people. I remember in a previous church dealing with a family, a couple who had in their family heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. And they came and I was praying with them. I was pointing them to God's word. I was trying to provide some counsel and spiritual fortitude to this family who had so many problems within their family. And I remember them saying to me at one point, "John, why is it that we have all of these problems in our family, and this family," they refer to another family in the church, "this family seems to have problem-free. Their family just is perfect." I couldn't say to them because of confidentiality, but I knew the other family. And just at that time, I was dealing with another horrific situation within that family. Because the answer is, all of us have come short. We all come from imperfect families, and we produce imperfect families. Here's the point, and I want you to get this. The overwhelming need in your life is the same overwhelming need in my life, is the same overwhelming need in the lives of these Christmas fathers and Christmas mothers. You know what it is? It's grace. Our greatest need is grace. You and I stand in need of the grace of God. All of us have come short. All of us mess up. I realize some more dramatically than others. I realize there's a huge spectrum. But into every family, into every relationship, into every husband and wife relationship comes sin and failure and problems and dysfunction, if you want to use that word. And this is the message of Christmas. It is this, that God in Jesus Christ offers us what? Grace. 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 And God's grace comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is unique, who's very different. Isn't that the point of the genealogy? As you go through the genealogy, and I've only picked out a few characters, but as you go through each one of them, you realize that all of them have come short until you come to one man of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. And that into this mess, into this darkness, into this dysfunction and failure and sin, there comes from heaven to earth the Lord of glory, who is totally different, and that grace comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what John presents in his prologue of his gospel. He says, "From his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God is full of grace. God's grace is infinite. And in Jesus Christ, this grace of God comes to us in the person of His wonderful Son, of His unique Son. And He gives us not just a little bit of grace, but grace upon grace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." What is the answer to this dysfunction? Is it just better counseling? Is it just another marriage seminar? Is it some book I have to read of some behavior modification? All of these can be of help, but they will not deal with the real problem. It is only the grace of God in your heart, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, where divine transformation will take place. That Jesus the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, comes to bring grace to messed up people and families. All the ones contained in Matthew 1. Every single person here, He comes to bring salvation and He comes to bring transformation. So Paul says, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." And he goes on to say, this is all of the mercy of God, that into human history, into time and space, comes a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is totally different from all others and who is uniquely qualified to be our Savior. We thought a couple of weeks ago that He's unique in His birth. He's the Son of David, yes, but He's also the Son of God. He enters the world in a unique way. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." He enters our world as no one else has entered it. He's born of a human mother, but no human father. So that the virgin birth was a special and unique act of the Holy Spirit, who achieves by a fresh creative act the beginning of the human life of the eternal Son of God. He is unique in His birth. Here is His genealogy. Here is the royal line. He fulfills that perfectly. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. He's of the royal line. He is legally qualified to be king. But He comes into this world as no one else does. He's unique in His birth. He's also unique in His life. Abraham, Jacob, David, Solomon, great men as they were all marked by failure. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, all of them sinful. What about this one? What about Jesus the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham? No, He is different. He is sinless. Because of His unique conception, He enters the world guiltless of any sin. Everything He does, everything He says, everything He thinks is absolutely perfect. And so the New Testament writer says He did no sin. He knew no sin. In Him was no sin. Into this sinful world, typified and symbolized by these Christmas fathers and mothers, comes God's unique Son. A unique birth, a unique life, a unique death. He dies on a cross. All of the four Gospels have the death of Jesus as the climax. He's born to die. He comes as the Savior. His very name, Jesus, means that. He knew the reason why the Father sent the Son. He knew that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, to die. So in that wonderful chapter in John 10 of the Good Shepherd, Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." He knew He was going to die. It wasn't that It wasn't just the betrayal of Judas. It wasn't just the evil plotting of the Jewish establishment or the cruelty of the Romans that put him on the tree. This was part of God's purposes. This is the way of salvation that God plans and is perfectly implemented by this perfect one, Jesus the Christ. He's our Savior. He doesn't share in my guilt as a sinner. No, but he bears my guilt as a Savior. He doesn't share your sin as a sinner. He doesn't share your shame, your guilt, all of your sin. No, but he bears your sin. He bears your shame. He bears your guilt. That immorality, that drunkenness, that unkindness, that pride. All of these sins are borne by our Savior on the cross. He bears our sin and now offers us what? Forgiveness. That's grace. He offers us eternal life because he leaves the world in a unique way, rising from the dead. There is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him. Of all of the people who lived and died in this world, even the greatest of them, like Abraham and David and Jacob, were marked by failure, but not so our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely perfect. That's why he's the only Savior. He's the only one who can rescue you. He's the only one who can forgive you and offers you his grace. So will you ask Jesus, the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, to save you? Will you receive what you don't deserve, grace? And can I say to those of us who are following Christ and who say, I have been saved by God's grace, can I ask you to display that grace to others? Our Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this genealogy. We realize we've only scratched the surface of it. But we thank you for our Lord Jesus, who was totally different, that he came to save Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon and Ruth and Rahab and Tamar and Bathsheba, and came to save us, the chief of sinners. I pray, Father, that each one here will open their hearts and receive that grace and help us to display to others. We ask in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with John Monroe, senior pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, we're concluding a message titled Christmas Families, but John has a few closing remarks coming up in just a bit, so stay with us. And as we look ahead to the Christmas weekend, we want to invite you to join us this Saturday, December 24, here at Calvary Church for our special Candlelight Christmas Eve services. If you're in the Charlotte area, come visit in person for a meaningful time of carols, candlelight, and a special Christmas message from John. Or join us from wherever you are through our live stream online. You'll find all the details by going to our home church website at calvarychurch.com. That's calvarychurch.com. And while you're online, you'll also have the opportunity to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict with a simple one-time donation of any amount. Your support will help us share God's word with new listeners in your community and across the world. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, please consider giving a special year-end gift to support this ministry. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting Calvary's website or theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. It's available on your favorite podcast app, and you can subscribe today by simply searching for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? What is your family experience? Did some of the women in the family tree of Jesus surprise you? But isn't this what God does? He takes sinful men and women like each of us, forgives our sins, and uses us for his sovereign purposes. How wonderful it is to be sons and daughters in the family of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Next broadcast, we continue with our Christmas series as we think of how the coming of Jesus offers hope in our dark and troubled world.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.